Today we are talking about the new life. The new life. And I think that's a fitting sermon for me to close out this year with. Here at Elmira. The new life. God wishes that we will not only open our eyes, but that we will choose to live more righteously. Amen. He wants us to see and know that we are living in some serious times. We are. The political climate in the United States, of all places, is telling. And I can tell you of one who has immigrated here that it's telling. I never expect to see this in the United States, what we are seeing now. I'm talking politically. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled and threw out the lawsuit that Texas brought on behalf of so many states. And to me, it tells that this great democracy that the United States of America is, this republic, we are coming to the closing days. And I say this because we know from prophecy that something is going to happen that is going to change the course of this nation forever. Again, I've been going through the material. And I've just been, literally, man, I tell you, Brother Elias, just a little bit, the thing is so powerful that I want you today, when I'm going to share the quote to you, I want you today to pop this little book open and read the portion that I'll be sharing with you today. And in your own time, take your time and go through this entire chapter. This entire 10 chapters of the Great Controversy. The 10 last chapters. Yes, we are in crucial times. And I want to say that it is time that God's people wake up. And if there's anyone asleep that is in our midst today, now is the time to be fully awake in Christ. Now is the time. On another note, in nature, everything seems to be in convulsion. Many things are out of their usual order. We have become accustomed to extreme weather conditions, which seem to be an almost permanent feature among us these days. Is that true? Yes, it is. The current volcanic activities in Indonesia and Hawaii and elsewhere, the frequency and the magnitude of the earthquakes, the super busy hurricane seasons, and we just set another record for hurricane seasons. The bomb cyclones and deadly tornadoes, etc., all are sounding the alarm. We are nearing home. Christ is coming soon. And the great question that you and I ought to answer today is, are you ready? Am I ready for Jesus to come? Soon, we will either face Christ's second coming or death. One of the two will come in our direction. And whether we are dead or alive, we must face the judgment of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, Paul says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Of course, you know that him is God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then verse 11, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. This is what Paul writes for us. Stages, I can say we are living in the end. Things on earth faith are wrapping up. The coming of Christ, Jimmy, is nearer than when we first believed. And Paul is saying we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you think how solemn that is? If the IRS should reach out to one of us, we would take it very seriously, wouldn't we? And that's the IRS. And that's for something temporal. They maybe want some more money from you. You know, Arlene may have her millions and the IRS wants a little more, you know? That's temporal. But this judgment of Almighty God is for our eternal health, well-being, and eternal existence. I urge every person here to take it a little bit more seriously. I know that some of you really take it seriously. I know that. But I urge everyone to revisit the subject of this judgment hour and really ask God to examine us now before he calls our names in the judgment scene. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. At the heart of Seventh-day Adventism is God's investigative judgment hour message. At our core, this is what we believe. Just study Daniel chapter 8 verse 14 and its explanation in Daniel chapter 9. And you will see that God's judgment day began on October 22, 1844. There is no one, Anne-Marie, who can undo that. As our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, Christ then began to cleanse that sanctuary. That means true believers who by faith follow the Lamb wherever he goes are being cleansed from sin right here and right now. True believers are being made into overcomers here and now. You know, the way you keep your homes, the way you treat your neighbors, the way you care for your environment, all tell whether you believe these things. Did you know that cleanliness is indeed a part of godliness? Did you know that? Did you know that you are mere stewards of your homes? Did you know that God owns them? Did you know that you are mere stewards of your time? God owns all of your time. Did you know that you are stewards of the funds that come to you, whether you work or you're in retirement or some other way? Did you know that you are just stewards of those funds? And God will bring us to account for what we do with our time, what we do with the monies that flow through our hands, what we do with our homes. And above all, I think God's going to observe us keenly for what we do with our influence. In Psalm 24, verses 1 through 5, a psalm you know, the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. That takes in everything, right? For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4 answers, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Those words are powerful, Dennis. You know, while the text, or the term in the text, clean hand, speaks to the purity of our actions, the world is now relearning that to literally clean one's hands may be the difference now between sickness and health, between life and death. See, many people in the world have forgotten or had forgotten how to wash their hands. You know, I've been to the restroom and I see grown men use that restroom and they walk right out, never turn that tap or never put any soap or sanitizer on their hands. And it makes you wonder, you know. Well, I'm glad the world is relearning that we need to wash our hands and keep them clean. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to bring your attention to the subject of climate change. Climate change is very real. And there's no one who should believe that more than Seventh-day Adventist students of the Bible. Because our Bible tells us that the whole earth waxes old, King James Version, like a garment. It grows old. We know that earth is being worn down. And we know that came because of our sin and our sinful action. So we know that. We're also told that when Revelation 20 will be fulfilled, this is when, after the second resurrection, Satan will gather all the lost people that number into the multiplied billions. He'll gather them and he'll tell them, hey, here finally is the eternal city of God. That's when it came down on earth. He says, here now is our opportunity. We can capture this city and live in it eternally. And we are told that God is going to rain fire down from heaven, which will unite with fire from beneath. And the entire earth will be one boiling, seething lake of fire. And that fire will destroy all the wicked. That fire will be so powerful because it is God's fire that it will destroy Satan and all his demons, the beast, and the false prophet. So we know that even nature is warming up to the coming of her creator. Nature is warming up. So climate change is real. Yet some people are so devoted to climate change that it is pretty much their object of devotion, their idol. Some are extremists. And I want you to turn now in your book, DVD, to page 29. Let's go to page 29 in this little book. And I just want to read for you. And it's page 29. That's the section above where the broken commandments are. You see the word thousands? If you see the word thousand, just above where that picture is at the broken commandments. Say amen if you see thousands. Thousands deify nature while they deny the God of nature. Today that is multiplied in the millions. They deify, they make a God out of nature while they turn around and deny the God of nature. Yes, my friends, this is serious. And I want you to skip over to pages 33 and 34. We start on page 33. I want to go to the bottom of 33, bottom left-hand corner, which says Satan delights in war. If you see that section, then say amen. So it's the very center of the book where you can see the staples. And it's the bottom left-hand corner of page 33. And it says, Satan delights in war. Raise your hand if you're there. All right, good. So we have a good witness. It says here, Satan delights in war, for it excites the worst passions of the soul, and then sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another, for he can thus divert the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of God. And so there is civil war in Syria. Ethiopia is the latest to join that. Ethiopia is now in full-blown civil war. The Tigray region against the government and its forces. Tribe against tribe. Nations against nation. It's the next paragraph says, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. And it's going to explain how he studies. Catch the next sentence. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. I was reading an article just at the beginning of this week that in communist China, when the leadership shows up in Beijing for national meetings, they say it is always under the clear sky. Always. Doesn't matter the time of year. If they have a meeting, it's always under the clear sky. You know why? The Chinese have mastered manipulation of nature. For example, when they had the Beijing Olympics a few years ago, they seeded the clouds once more. So therefore, no rain would come during that period when the Olympics are going on. In the fertile regions where they do a lot of agriculture, they have mastered manipulating weather so that there is no extreme weather that affects that region of China. The U.S. has the technology, by the way, to do cloud seeding and all that stuff. The U.S. just doesn't use it as much as China does. The point I'm saying, human beings have studied and know how to do these things. Imagine Satan himself. So when I see this, it comes as no surprise to me. It says, Satan has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered, when he was allowed to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another, as in a moment. You know the story of Job, right? And even Job erred, because in the end Job says, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. You and I know from the story that God was not doing the taking away. Satan was. Mind you, by the permission of God. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. And everybody should say amen for that one. The reason you and I are alive today is because God is shielding us and hedging us in from the power of Satan. Otherwise, he would destroy every last one of us. Do you see that each of us has reasons to praise God and to thank God? It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. Catch this, but the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah. And the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. And yet, Brother Earl, they will blame the honest, true law keepers that they are the reason for all of these calamities. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. In other words, brothers and sisters, every person you know belongs to either the side of Christ or the side of Satan. There is no neutral person on earth. So even the person who say, I don't believe there's a God, that person by default is on Satan's side. No one you know is a neutral person. Every person you know belongs to one side or the other. And by the way, none of us can be on both teams. For God, it is all or none at all. Amen? Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs. And he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. So it is true sometimes when you go through trouble after trouble, Satan is trying to make life hard for you. Still trust in Jesus. Amen? Still lean on Christ. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now, he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, that's fire, in fierce tornadoes, and in terrific hailstorms, in tempests, those are hurricanes, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. I ask you, when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, sleeping in that boat, and his disciples were with him, who do you think sent that storm to destroy them and drown them all? Do you think God was going to try to destroy his son that was here on a mission to save mankind? And the apostles who were going to preach that message? I don't think so. Satan has studied the elements, and he knows how to manipulate the weather to destroy lives. Catch this next sentence. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. And catch this very next line. Oh, I posted this just when the pandemic got started. Satan, that's the he now, he imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. COVID fits right into that description too. It's an airborne virus. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. 300,000 in America alone perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The hardy people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24. Verses 4 and 5. We are living in powerful times. As I begin to wrap up, one other thing I would like you to note is the brutality of human beings to other human beings. It has reached satanic levels. Love has grown cold. King James Version, the love of many heart will wax cold. Man's inhumanity to man, man's injustice to man has reached barbaric levels. Human trafficking is a huge problem right here in the United States, and it's terrible. Many of these missing people, do you know where they go? Human trafficking. Kidnaps and all that stuff. Elsewhere, there is forced labor. And sadly, slavery is still alive and well in many parts of the world. You'd be surprised to see the kind of people involved in such heinous crimes against humanity. And if ever there was a time to stand up for God, now is that time. Now is the time for the new life. I would like to again focus your attention on that passage that was read for us in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Paul says, "This I say to you therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." The encouragement to us today is to no longer walk in futility. And you may ask, what is this futility to which Paul refers? Verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened. How is that possible? Being alienated from the life of God. Anyone who is being alienated from the life of God is in this darkness, is in this futility of their mind. Do you know that the children of God should not be worried in the COVID crisis? The children of God should have peace that surpasses human understanding, even in times like these. As a matter of fact, what we're going through right now is relatively easy to what we know is coming. You know, Naomi, as much as you desire, you can still go down to Wegmans or whichever store you like and buy whatever you want. And if you don't have the money, you can put it on your credit card. And then Mr. Credit Master will come looking for you if you don't pay it. But the idea is, you can still buy and sell without the mark of the beast. You still have protection of the law of the land. So this is relatively easy time compared to what we know from the word of God, from prophecy, is to come upon the world. But if COVID and its measures, if this has caused us to stumble in our walk with Christ, may the Lord help us. I am glad for the demonstration of your faith just by being here today. That's a demonstration of faith. Because you know that by God's grace, God will protect you. You know that you will take the necessary precautions. And you know that when you do, you will be fine. See, I read this that told us Satan would impart to the air this deadly taint. This was written 120 years ago. We knew these things were coming ahead of time. We have the greatest health message this world has ever witnessed. We should study it. We should follow it. And to a large degree, these viruses will not come nigh our dwelling. I see the world is clamoring for the vaccine. And vaccines do have their place. But there are no safer proof against viruses and disease than God's health message. And we have been commissioned by Almighty God Himself to give the health message to the world. We sit on light 100 years ahead of its time. We should really get back to studying ministry of healing and counsels on diets and food. We should study those materials. Go back to see how God sent us the health message and see how we can live that new life where we can have vigor in our experience just by following the health principles, those 8 laws of health that God has sent us. We will do well to heed those. And so Paul says, those who walk in the futility of their mind, those whose understanding is darkened, are those who are being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they are hardened, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. And we are living in one of the most lewd era of human history. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Greed. The age of greed. Verse 20. He's now shifting. And by the way, this was written to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians. In the 7 churches in Revelation, Ephesus is the first one. And then you ride on that circuit going north, north, east, and north, and then go back over, you know? Ephesus. In verse 20 it says, but you have not so learned Christ, to be greedy. You remember 2 greedy people that were in the church of Ephesus? Ananias and Sapphira. That was the church of Ephesus. Sold some property and said, yeah, we're going to give all that we sell to the Lord. And then when they got a big offer, they said, ah, we're going to keep some for ourselves. This is after they've made a pledge. And then they came up to the church and brought the money and said, here, Brother Peter, here is all the proceeds from what we sold. And Brother Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, Ananias, did you not sell the land for so much? And even after you sold it, let's say you had a change of heart, was it not in your power? You could say, all right, Lord, I'm going to switch the bargain here. I'll give you 80 and keep 20. You could do that, is what Peter was implying. It was in your power. But you took some and brought what you did and pretend that this is all. And then Peter says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit being a person, being the third person of the Godhead. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And later on he says, you didn't lie to men, but you lied to God. So in that passage, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. And they fell dead. Ananias died, and shortly after, his wife Sapphira came, and the same thing happened to her too. That was the church of Ephesus. And Paul saying, but you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, your former conversation, put away the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Today, in the field of science and health sciences, they are talking about mindfulness. How many heard the term mindfulness? I see some hands. Well, they are pretty late, because Paul wrote about mindfulness 2,000 years ago, you know? Yeah, he said it there in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that we have the most comprehensive plan of truth and health and righteousness and business management, all in the Bible. This is the book without rival. This is the book of all books. And as we stick with the Bible, we're going to be in good hands. Better than Allstate, amen? We're going to be in God's hands. We got to stick with Jesus. And what do you say? Amen. Luke, we got to stick with Jesus. It doesn't matter what comes hither. We got to stick with Jesus. Right, Sister Martha? We got to go with God. That's right, Brother Alvin. We got to go with Jesus. Brother Gary, we got to go with God. Amen. Doesn't matter what comes our way, Brother Dennis. We need to stand with Jesus. Yes, Sister Sharon. We got to walk with God through thick or thin. Right, Gary? We got to go with God. It doesn't matter what come our way, Derek. We got to stand with Jesus. The new life is all important. And we get the new life through the renewing of our mind, through the transformation of our mind. That's exactly the department of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. The Holy Spirit makes us brand new. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a one-time event. Brother Corky, we can have this experience every day. Right, Jacob? Every day, we can have this newness in Christ. Every day. Praise be to God. So I want to say that today, we're going to witness a certain stage in the journey of Brother Gary Marsh. Baptism, remember, is not a graduation ceremony. Baptism is an initiation into the higher life in Christ, that walk in Christ.